Siddhanta Sarsati Goshami Raj Prabhupada. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindiki. Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki. Prem Sukaho Shikrishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindgi Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Goku Vinath Sham Kanuradha Kunigiri Gurudhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai. Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Ki Jai. Ganga Main Ki Jai. Jamana Main Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrindgi Jai. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. Gaur Premanande. Shall we do a cell phone check, please? All cell phones, silent mode. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Today's verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto, is very fascinating. But Manu asked me to speak about japa, so I'm going to do something other than read Srimad Bhagavatam. Change the program. Since I'm accused of making a lot of changes, I might as well do something. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 17. Text 133. Familiar verse. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Vasa Vigraha Purnaha Shuddha Nitya Mukto Abhinnatam Namanamino Namachintamani Krishnas
Namachintamani Krishnas
Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinnatam Namanamino Namachintamani Krishnas
Namachintamani
Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinnata Nama Namino. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinnata Nama Namino. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinnata Nama Namino. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinnata Nama Namino. Anyone from the ladies' side? Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinnata Nama Namino. Namaha, the holy name. Chintamanihi, transcendental, blissful giver.
Transcendental, blissful giver.
of all spiritual benedictions.
Krishna,
not different from Krishna. Chaitanya,
Rasavigraha,
the form of all transcendental mellows. Purnaha,
complete.
Shuddha,
pure.
Without material contamination.
Nitya,
eternal.
Muktaha,
liberated. Abhinnata,
due to not being different.
Nama,
of the holy name.
Namino,
and of the person who has the name.
The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete, and it is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition, and it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there is no question of his being involved with mind. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. Purport. This is a quotation from Padma Purana. Om Jnanati Nirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kapha Vaikyam Tathati Shapatantikam Vandeham Shri Gurave Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrashatam Sahaganadaganatam Vitamstam Savitam Sadvaitam Sadvatutam Parijana Sehitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Hadam Sahaganadaganatam E Krishna, Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namosuke, Tata Kanshanako Gandhi, Radhe Vrindaneshari, Vrishabhanusuke Devi, Ranamahi Vanchako Vidurubhyasya Kripasintho Vidayevacha Vajitanam Paranevyo Vaishnadevyo Namonamaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Tavunityananda Shri Adreta Gadahara Shri Vastari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This is a description of the holy name of Lord Krishna with a very realized translation and word-for-word meanings by Srila Prabhupada. Very interesting to see how Srila Prabhupada translates this verse. Nam
Chintamani. We've heard of Chintamani, Chintamani, Gagarasa, Yasu, touchstones, or stones that give you whatever you desire. And here, Nama Chintamani, Krishna, Nama Chintamani Krishna. The name Krishna is not different from Krishna, and therefore it's Chintamani, the transcendentally blissful giver of all spiritual benedictions. Whatever we want for our spiritual advancement, whatever we need, whatever blessings we might hope for, whatever result we might want on the spiritual platform, it's all there in the Chintamani stone of the holy name of Krishna. Nama Chintamani. What would you give for a Chintamani? The philosopher's stone, it's also called. Alchemists and other such people interested in esoterica over the centuries have heard of such a thing as the philosopher's stone and have even tried to find such a thing as the philosopher's stone. Imagine what your situation would be if you had a stone that could give you anything that you want, a gem that could give you anything. The story is there that one devotee was worshipping Lord Shiva. He was a Shiva devotee, so that was okay. He was worshipping Lord Shiva very sincerely, and Lord Shiva appeared before him. What would you like? So the worshipper said, sir, I would like a touchstone. So Lord Shiva told him that Sanatana Goswami has such a stone. So you can ask him to give you that stone. He's a renounced person after all, so ask him. So the worshipper approached Sanatana Goswami and said, very humbly, sir, Lord Shiva has sent me to you, saying that you have the most valuable thing. That's what he was asking for. I want the most valuable thing. Intelligent sort of blessing to ask for. Give me the most valuable thing you can. So he asked Sanatana Goswami that Lord Shiva says you have the most valuable thing. And Sanatana Goswami said, yes, I have a Chintamani. And it's over there in the garbage, and you can find it there, and it's yours. So the worshipper eagerly went there and picked it up and tested it out, that the Chintamani is supposed to turn things into gold that are not gold. So he was overjoyed, and he went on his way with his touchstone. And while he was on his way, his intelligence kicked in. He thought, wait a second. This Swami was keeping that touchstone in garbage. So maybe he's pulled a fast one on me. If he's keeping that in the garbage, he must have something really more valuable. So he doubled back and again approached Sanatana Goswami. Sir, I think you must have something more valuable because you're keeping that touchstone in the garbage. Do you have something more? So Sanatana Goswami said, yes, I have something more. Yes, you throw that touchstone in the tank, in the pond. So he threw it in the pond. And then Sanatana Goswami gave him the holy name of Krishna. That's the real treasure. Sanatana Goswami says that this is my treasure in life. This is the most valuable thing, the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Because whatever you want for your spiritual perfection, for your spiritual happiness, for your spiritual life, it's all available from knowledge and tamni, from the transcendental holy name of Krishna. Rupa Goswami says, I don't know how much nectar there is in these two syllables, Krishna. Chaitanya rasa vigraha. Chaitanya, apart from Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya here means spiritual. Chaitanya rasa. Srila Prabhupada translates rasa as mellows, following the footsteps of his spiritual master. It's a very unconventional use of the word mellow as an adjective in English, and Prabhupada's using it as a noun. That's a legal thing to do. You can always take words and do what you want with them. And Srila Prabhupada does that. He takes this word mellow, which means sort of, well, you know what mellow means, if a person's very mellow. But he uses it as a noun to mean rasa. What is rasa? Rasa is a kind of taste, a kind of juice. Another meaning of rasa is juice. And another meaning is relationship. By extension, it means the taste that one gets from a particular relationship with Krishna. There's relationship, well, there's shantarasa, which almost doesn't count, just the relationship of appreciating, passively appreciating Krishna. Then there's the serving relationship, which is the basic principle of all the relationships, but the dasya-rasa means become servant of Krishna. Then there's the relationship of friend to friend, which has two levels. There's respectful, little respectful friendship, like the friendship between Krishna and Arjuna. And then there's totally abandoned friendship, no respect whatsoever, like the relationship between Krishna and the cowherd boys, Sridhan, Sudan, and the others. Then, still further, there's the parental relationship, like the relationship of Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, and the older Brajvasis, who have affection for Krishna in the mood of his superiors. And then there's the amorous relationship, either like that of the queens of Dwarka, who are Krishna's wives, or like the gopis of Vrindavan, who are Krishna's transcendental sweethearts. So all of these relationships, everyone in the material world is looking for some satisfying relationship, trying to get some satisfying taste from relationships, and being frustrated or disappointed or let down or afflicted by so many problems. But Chaitanya Rasa, this is spiritual. This is a spiritual test. The relationships in the material world, the tastes in the material world, are all imperfect reflections of the spiritual relationships and the spiritual tastes found with Krishna. And Krishna Nam, the holy name of Krishna, is the reservoir for all of those relationships and all the ecstasy, all the sweetness, all the satisfaction, all the excitement, all of the everything, all of the love that's found in each of these relationships. They're all there in Krishna Nama. Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure, and his name is the reservoir of all pleasure, and especially pleasure in all of these different relationships or different tastes. Apart, we mentioned friendships, servitude, and so on. Then there are like other tastes that complement these tastes. Chivalrous taste, the taste of humor, even the taste of ghastliness can increase the tastiness of relationships. All of these are found in connection with Krishna, and all of them are found in the holy name of Krishna. His holy name is Purna. Purna means complete. There's whatever there is that we're getting here is only a partial, faint reflection of what is there in Krishna. Here everything is incomplete, and therefore we're feeling incomplete. But Krishna is complete, and our life becomes complete when we're connected with Krishna. Purnam Shuddha, his name is completely pure. There's no material junk connected with Krishna's name. It's beyond all of that. Nitya Mukta. It's free from all material connections. And therefore, when one chants the holy name of Krishna, one starts to become free from all material connections by being associated with Krishna. Abhinnatam Naminam, because there's no difference. The material platform, the person and his name are different. But on the spiritual platform, name and person are absolute. Name and person are absolute. And that's the realization that we want to get. It's just a question of realization. It's there. It's there. It's factual. And we're only missing the understanding, the appreciation, the realization of this fact. Abhinnatam nama nama. Krishna, nam is 100% Krishna person. There's no difference. Whatever you can get from Krishna the person, you can get from Krishna alone. So how do we get that? By hearing and chanting. We associate with Krishna Nam. Krishna Nam appears when we chant. And we appreciate Krishna Nam by hearing. By chanting, by hearing, we associate with Krishna. So the Sankirtan is one mode of associating with Krishna. And japa is another way of associating with Krishna. One is very practical. In our ordinary affairs, we have a social life and we have an inner life. We have the social life, we get out with people and we talk about all rubbish and do all sorts of things. And then we go home. And then we think about what happened, or we think about who we met, or we think about this or that. We spend a lot of our time thinking, some of our time interacting with people, and some of our time thinking and cogitating and ruminating and swimming around. So with these two programs, we take care of everything. We have a great social life. We get together and we chant Hare Krishna and we associate with Krishna. With in the company of other devotees, we all chant. And the more we chant purely, the more we experience that Krishna is present while we're chanting. And then for our personal life, for our inner life, which of course also benefits from our social life, our chanting of Hare Krishna, but for our personal practice, we have chanting on our beats. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This chanting, quiet chanting, deepens our connection with Krishna, deepens our realization of Krishna's presence, gives us further taste of Krishna consciousness, saves us from so much useless thinking, because if we're not chanting Hare Krishna, then we're naturally, we're thinking about so many things. What did he think of me? What was that person trying to say? Should I have said this? But if I'd said that, maybe he would have said this. But if he'd said that, then what would I have said next? But if I'd said that, it goes on and on. The mind is incredible. Anyone who doesn't appreciate the power of God, just think about the mind and how much power it has. And it carries away the whole world in different directions all at once. Each person in different directions all at once. Incredible thing. And the mind messes us up. When the mind is materially contaminated, then the mind is pulling us this way, pulling us that way, pulling us the third way, causing all kinds of confusion, conflict, or the mind is really on a roll, the mind loves it, and then the mind gets punched in the face and it's reeling. The life of the mind is, we go on and on and on about the life of the mind. But Krishna says in summary, Dukkhale Shashvatam. It's a source of so much trouble. Whatever we think of in this material world is a source of so much trouble, and it's temporary. Even if my mind finally finds the greatest thing in the material world, it can't last. And especially, it's usually all in the mind. You never get it anyway. What is that in Bhagavad Gita? Sankalpa Prabhavan Kama. We have so many desires, and they're just all in the mind. Sarvan Parthan and Ovidan. So many ideas about enjoyment. And that's what they are, the ideas. We're just dreaming we're going to get something. Or when we finally get it, we find out that the dream and thing don't match. That the dream was one thing, and the actual thing is more like a nightmare. The dream is this beautiful girl who loves me so much, and the reality is Harry. Harry, what about all this garbage? I'm tired of living here. You said we were going to move. Blah 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 blah. Or equally so, from the guy's side, you know, they caused trouble for one time. So this is the mind. So the one immediate advantage of chanting Hare Krishna is it purifies the mind. It gets us free from thinking in material, on the material platform. Useless, go nowhere, or go into illusion thoughts. We just skip. We don't have to sort through them, figure them out. Analyze them, reanalyze them, just take the elevator and look down on it, they're gone. They don't matter. But it doesn't mean, as critics say, that the devotee becomes mindless, that he loses his power to think. But he loses his interest in thinking about illusion, and instead he's thinking about the reality. And how does he think about the reality? He doesn't have to think. He chants Hare Krishna, and reality reveals himself. The supreme reality, the supreme personality of Godhead, reveals itself to the person who chants sincerely. So, when Krishna does that, then you've got better than thinking. You've got super thinking. You we're not lacking in things to think about. We have so many books, we have so much philosophy. But it's on the level of purified thinking. What do they say? Think happy thoughts. You think about Krishna. And those are the happiest thoughts. Not simply happy, happy, happy. But the devotees are enjoying thinking about what they hear in Srimad Bhagavatam. They're enjoying the pursuit of Krishna's mercy by chanting his holy name. Or they're enjoying the association of Krishna by, either one way, they're enjoying the association of Krishna and feeling Krishna's presence when they're chanting. Or even when they're feeling absent, by not chanting purely, by not getting Krishna's association, even that has a kind of brings them to a higher level of transcendental pleasure. It's another way of approaching the transcendental reality. So much is there. That's a good signal for stopping and asking if there are any questions. Comments, yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for running this class. Because you've aptly explained the situation of the mind in this material world, and because the mind is always, you know, taking us so many places other than where we really need to go spiritually. And because just even for myself, I'm so much under the control of the uncontrolled mind. Maybe you could say something a little bit about the importance of having association with devotees, but particularly having association with more advanced devotees.
Mm. Yeah, strength in numbers. When we associate with materialists, then we, by the process of osmosis, we pick up their qualities. And when we associate with devotees, we pick up their qualities. When we associate with the more advanced or super advanced devotees, we pick up their qualities, which are what we really want the most. Everything's by association. One time Prabhupada said that practically, I forget the percentage, 95% of what you've learned is by association. It's not simply academic or ritualistic or formal, but it's by association. When we associate with the, Haribhakti Shuddhodaya, there's a statement that association is like a crystal. When there's a crystal, the crystal reflects whatever is nearby. So our association, we reflect what's in our association. Perhaps if we associate with thieves, we become a thief. And we see when people associate with advanced devotees, they can become advanced devotees. Especially when we associate in the suitable way, with humility, with a desire to be Krishna conscious. When devotees associate with the desire, I mean, there's another kind of association with devotees where we kind of hang out with devotees, we go to the movies with the devotees. And you don't really get the kind of benefits that are talked about in the literature by that kind of association. But when we associate with devotees for glorifying Lord Jagannath, for having festivals, for distributing books, for cooking for Krishna or sewing for Krishna or publishing books for Krishna, whatever it is. And we associate. Association with devotees means especially service. How do we associate with devotees? So much it's by service. When you, I sometimes think about the military, you know, how people become like buddies for life because they served together. You know, they went through hell serving their country together, and you can't separate them. You know, they can meet 50 years later and they'll be immediately on the same wavelength by service. So when we serve Krishna together, that's how devotees, Prabhupada expressed it in his manifesto or his purposes for ISKCON. One purpose is to bring the members closer to one another and closer to the prime entity, the personality of Godhead, Krishna, or by service. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Maharaj, for bringing us explanation of Krishna's being in his name, the potency of the name. I was listening recently to a talk by Indra in the wake of his leaving, and he was discussing holy name in terms of the fact that, from his perspective, Nam Kirtan is more important than Nam Japa, or more potent. He's not more important, but more potent. He said Nam Japa is like taking pills, but Nam Kirtan is like getting a direct injection with a big needle right to the spot where it's needed. So I was just wondering if you could maybe comment on that, Nam Kirtan, Nam Japa.
Nam Kirtan is the Yuga Dharma, the method of realization for this age. And so it has enormous potency. But because lunch is more potent than breakfast, it doesn't mean you should skip breakfast. There are different aspects of practice. And both of them will benefit us. I mean, okay, if you're in the 24-hour kirtan and you're doing kirtan for 24 hours, you can skip japa, it doesn't matter, you're already there. But for those of us who are going to spend less time in kirtan, the japa is also an important part of our life. Indra himself is the man for 24-hour kirtan. Was seriously chanting japa. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to give Harinam Sankirtan, was seriously chanting japa. It's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was chanting on his fingers, keeping track of both hands. The Goswamis, who were bombing around Vrindavan, Krishna Kirtan Gana, and all their always doing kirtan, hey Radhe, for the day, calling out to Krishna. Sankhya Purva Ganana Gamma, they were seriously chanting God. So there must be something in it. You just have to discover what that is.
I have a question. Sometimes when you're chanting japa, it can give you a lot of perspective.
Sometimes when you're chanting japa, you can feel like you get a lot of perspective. But sometimes when you're chanting, you can feel, at least I feel, it's like the cleaning process where the dust is coming up and a lot of gunk comes up. So I'm just wondering, what is your advice on when the gunk is there? You know, how do you have it like a vacuum cleaner that sucks it and it goes away versus you just stir it all up and then it just settles back down after it's been stirred up and you never really get rid of it?
The principle of a vacuum cleaner is concentrated suction. It takes the air and pulls it all in one direction, and by that it sucks out the dirt and goes that way. So our principle is concentrated chanting. All the stuff will start flying. Or even if it's not there, Maya will throw it at you. You know, you're chanting Hare Krishna, well, let me tell you, I've got room for you. So the method is concentrated chanting. That mind may want to go here, mind may look at this, look at that, oh my God, this, that. But keep coming back to the transcendental sound.
I mean, just even like impurities, like you start to see your own faults, you start to see your own issues coming up while you're, at least for me, chanting reveals that, like, yeah, you still have things that you have to work on. So it's
this
not
is
like
the, this is the work.
Mind, it's just the, like, the stuff that's coming up.
Yeah, the stuff is not just external stuff. Look at that, look at that. It's not, oh, look at me. Then what do I do? That, oh, I have to work on this. Well, what's the work? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. I have, there's, Mr. Freud came up with his psychoanalysis, and I have a cousin who's a psychoanalyst. And she tells me that she has patients that she's been seeing for years, I mean, probably about decades. And they call her up on Christmas, not to wish her a Merry Christmas, but because it's a difficult time for them and they have issues and stuff. That means after like 5, 8, 10, 15 years of analysis of, you know, taking their problems and looking at it this way and looking at it that way and this and that, they still don't know what to do. They still have to call somebody and say, what do I do? It's Christmas, I'm feeling really... So this method is so much better. This is all of those hang-ups and this and that all pertain to our conditioned self, to who we're really not, to the convoluted and mixed up, confused, perverted, or conditioned mind. And our solution is to recognize, I'm not this body, I'm not this mind. It doesn't matter if my nose is funny. It doesn't matter if there are strange things buried deep in my mind from when I was 4. The girl who made that terrible remark to me when I was 7 and it's been with me ever since. It doesn't matter. Chant Hare Krishna, you're none of that. That has really nothing to do with you. So we come to the spiritual platform. Or from another point of view, we grab onto the lotus feet of Krishna. You know, I'm not going to call my cousin the psychiatrist and say, what am I going to do? Hold on to Krishna's lotus feet, and Krishna will solve the problem. Prabhupada said one time when he was installing Krishna Balaram, after he installed Krishna Balaram, he told Krishna a pastime, which is too long to tell because I'm going to do it. And he said that if you ever have any difficulty, he said, you can come before Gauranitai or Krishna Balaram, and you can say, sir, this is the problem. And they will do the needful.
Could you say something in reference to how we've heard through the years that when we chant the holy name, we're asking Krishna for service? So could you say something about that in reference to chanting and begging for service?
You probably gave that as the purport of Hare Krishna. Oh Krishna, oh energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. On the one side, we're already engaged in service, but it's service to that other energy, the material energy, or we're serving the demands of our mind, demands of our senses, and the senses are not satisfied, the mind is not satisfied, we're not satisfied. So we want to pray to Krishna, please engage me in your service. That service will be satisfying. That service is what I'm meant for. And when we depend on Krishna, when we pray to Krishna, please engage me in your service, then Krishna reciprocates. How Krishna does that, he has his own ways of doing it. But when somebody is desiring, Krishna, I want to serve you, please let me serve you, please let me serve you, when that desire is there and want to be engaged in your service, then Krishna will reciprocate. He will. Please engage me. No. No, if we really want to be engaged in Krishna's service, come on. Krishna will will engage us one way or another way or a third way. Even if the service, you know, we say, I want a service, but even if our particular service goes wrong, or I get bumped from my service, or someone else takes over my service, or I become incapacitated and can't do my service, we're praying to Krishna, please engage me in your service. He'll re-engage us, or better engage us, or keep us engaged. Because that's who we are, we're Krishna's servant, Krishna is our master. And if we're praying to Krishna, please engage me, he'll engage us. Just we shouldn't pray to Krishna, please engage me, later. But when he says, all right, here it is, okay, we should grab it and take it, and then we'll get more. Satsrupa Maharaj wrote to Srila Prabhupada one time about wanting to be overloaded with service. And Prabhupada wrote back with appreciation. Very nice that you want to be overloaded with service. And in that way, you do some service and then you get more. Even in the material world, if you have a job and you do the work, then they give you more work. That's the reward for work, they give you more. And of course, they just want to suck out your vitality and pay you as little as possible. But on the spiritual platform, service is the actual reward. It's not what you get paid for the service. The service is the pay. You can't. Therefore, Krishna told the gopis, "I can't pay you more. There's nothing else I can do for you. You'll just have to let the service be the pay. Your own service. Not that I'll serve you. You're serving me more than I can serve you. I can't serve you more. So you'll just have to be satisfied with the service." And that's the greatest payment, to be engaged in Krishna's service. And those who serve with that spirit will experience that. Wait, so I have to take direction from the authorities. Do we stop? Okay, I'll take another question.
When we chant, we're supposed to chant and hear, but when you're chanting here, are you thinking, please engage in your service? Because now I try to just, you know, hear, but then, you know, oh, am I supposed to think, please engage in your service too?
When we chant, we're supposed to chant and hear, but are we supposed to think, please engage me in your service? There's a feeling in chanting. It's not that I have to think exactly and somehow coordinate those 16 words with please engage me in your service. It's not like that. But there's a feeling to chanting. Prabhupada says that also. The quality also means that there's a feeling. There's mechanical chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. But then there's chanting with a feeling. You know, even in the material world, if you say to somebody, I love you, that's one thing. But when you say it with feeling, it's something else. So, and then you don't have to think about intellectually, what does it mean, what's I, what's love, what's the nature of you. But the sound is uttered with feeling. So when we chant Hare Krishna, all we have to do is hear and chant. We don't have to think something. But we try to chant with feeling. And what is that feeling? That we want to be engaged in Krishna's service. Okay? Yes?
Excuse me, Maharaj, you said, so some way or other we'll be engaged if we're chanting like that. But often we want only one way. Like we have a fixation that we want to do a particular service, and sometimes we're not good at that service. Or you said the name will fulfill our desires.
If you're good at it, if you really want to do a service and you're not good at it, probably this time is the place for you, because we're actually engaging people in things that they're not good at. Yeah.
So you know, like how about sometimes we're very conditional. We only want to do one particular service. And if someone asks us to do something else, we'll know that's not my service.
Sometimes we're we want service, but we want particular service, and if asked to do something else, we don't want to do that. There's two sides to that. One is that to want some particular service is not bad. Somebody probably even said the spiritual master sees that someone is best for this, someone's best for that. So someone wants to serve in a particular way. Because our Dhyana Prabhu wanted to do that kirtan. That service was there to be done. Prabhupada asked for it. He wanted it. He picked it up. Now somebody else has something else. I would like to do this service. So that's allowed. And that, in one sense, that's what makes it go, that I really have a desire. I'm attracted to that service. So that's appreciated. And even you can protect that service. You have something to do, and if you want to do it, then you can't say yes to everything else. Just as a matter of practicality, you can't say yes to everything. So then you have to say, well, no, this is my time for doing whatever it is. Otherwise you get slayed out. From another point of view, we're menial servants, so we should be prepared to do whatever Krishna wants. Oh, if Krishna wants to engage me as the editor, I'm the editor. If Krishna wants to engage me as the person who sweeps the temple floor, I'm the sweeper. If Krishna wants to engage me in something else, then whatever Krishna may give me. Not that we become like prima donnas, you know, I only play the lead part, and if I'm not the leader, then I quit the party. But whatever Krishna may give us, we're willing to do that. That's probably called the service attitude. So, as a practical matter, we balance. We balance. Shall we stop here?
Yeah.
Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.